Hey there, welcome to LSAT Demon Daily. I'm Nathan Fox. I'm one of the co-founders of LSATdemon.com and our weekly podcast, Thinking LSAT. With me today, I have David Kopp. David is a former Demon student, former Demon teacher, and current law student. David, how have you been? It feels like it's been forever.
It has been. Thanks for having me on, Nathan. Yeah, so just finished up my first year at the University of Texas Law School. So happy to be back interacting with you and sharing some knowledge with your listeners because it was such a big help to me.
Yeah, we have an email today from Nico asking about advice for going to law school while being in the reserves for the military. And David, you have experience with that. So we'll get into that in a second. But first, how was 1L?
So it was challenging. It was difficult. Just for context, too, first semester of law school, I was still doing my LSAT tutoring, and I was also in the reserves as well. So lots of time constraints on first semester, but grades went well first semester. So over winter break, we had the madness of basically winter OCI for the summer. And so I was fortunate enough to do pretty well with that. I got a couple of interviews and I'm working at a big law summer associateship this summer. Second semester was also challenging. The reserve obligation did take up a lot more time. So I actually had to, you know, discontinue working with LSAT Demon, which was a bummer, but, yeah, it took about almost like a week and a half of school time, 2 weeks really. So that was quite challenging, but I'm here. I've been working at the law firm for about 5 weeks now, and I'm really loving it.
Yeah. What do you love about it?
So obviously it'll be different for each one, that each different law firm that you go to. So there is this kind of perception that depending on which law firm you go to over the summer, it'll be almost like an adult summer camp where mm-hmm. you're not really doing a lot of substantive work. And it's kind of, you're with a group of almost up to maybe 30 summer associates.
Fancy lunches and that sort of thing.
Yes. Yes. 100%. Lots of drinks. Uh-huh. But the law firm that I'm working at, I've gotten to do a lot of really cool work. A couple of like first impression issues in the state of Texas on different projects. So it's real substantive work. I'm actually trying to figure out, you know, oh, I do like this, or no, I don't like this practice group. So it's giving me a much better foundation for what I want to do next, rather than going through law school, having no idea what actual lawyer life is like, and then getting slapped in the face once I graduate. So the partners and the associates have been really helpful. The feedback's been pretty good. And I've actually been able to rotate through a lot of different practice groups.
That's awesome. Congratulations. Is it too early to start thinking about the next summer?
No, it is not. Because for us, at least at the University of Texas, we put in our bids for next summer next week. So for context, it is June 24th. And we start submitting bids at the end of June for next summer. The law firms will review all of those bids in July, and then official August, official OCI for next summer is the first week of August. However, there is a whole lot of what they call dirty interviewing going on right now, where that's law students, summer associates, wow, reaching out to law firms even before OCI, even before, you know, resume drops, interview scheduling, where it's just people reaching out to law firms themselves, kind of working the background to get interviews before OCI even pops up.
That's wild. A full year. I mean, it's almost a full year in advance, yes, anyway. But then there's the back channel dirty interviewing that's going on, like, actually, yes, a full year ahead of time.
Yes, is actually, yeah, one full year out.
Wow. Amazing. Have you already started doing that, or are you allowed to say?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say I've gone full dirty interviewing. I've just been talking to like people I know personally at law firms and uh-huh. just kind of checking in on those connections. My general understanding is that it is a much more important thing to do if you want really big like networks. So you're talking like New York, DC, Chicago, like if you want to get into those types of high-end law firms, that's really, really important. But maybe if you're looking for lower end markets, then it's not nearly as important.
Cool. Do you know where you want to be? Are you figuring out where you want to like stay, where you want to live, where you want to practice?
I really, really like Austin, Texas. It's kind of a great combination of it offers a lot of the things of a big city, but it's not quite the craziness of New York or Chicago or DC yet. But because of all the crazy amount of business that's coming here, it's absolutely booming as a legal industry. The amount of tech work here is incredible. And with all the, since Austin is the capital, anything that has to do with a Texas administrative or regulatory agency, law firms in Texas are the ones that specialize in dealing with those entities. So, and with all these companies coming from, you know, either California or New York, they have to deal with Texas regulations. So they reach out specifically to Austin law firms on, okay, what do we need to do to set up shop in Texas? So,
gotcha.
And cost of living is cheaper. And Austin is considered a big law market salary. So you get the big law pay, but without paying for New York City rent.
Totally. Wow. Awesome. David, sounds like you're thriving. Do you want to read this email that we got here from Nico for us?
Yeah. Hello. I'm reaching out to see if you have any advice or possibly know anyone who has gone through law school while being in the reserves for the military. I am attempting to find any help on deciding what my path should be. I know it is advised not to work while in law school, but I think the one weekend a month that is required of reserves could be doable. Of course, I have no experience in law school, so I could be 100% wrong. Thank you for your time. So thanks for that great question, Nico. So I'll give you a little bit of background and then kind of dive into the question. So I was active duty in the Marine Corps for about 4.5 years before I made the transition to law school. So I did have that active duty experience. And also I would say it would depend too on when you're going into the reserves, is this going to be, do you have active duty experience? Do you have familiarity with your job, your responsibilities, or are you coming straight into the reserves and you're about to just actually start your kind of military career? I was pretty familiar with my job, my responsibilities. So I knew that if I did make the transition, it wouldn't be nearly as challenging as if you're trying to get off from the ground from it. Also, the big thing to think about is your reserve unit close? Can you get a reserve unit that is close to where your law school is? So my reserve unit is actually in North Carolina. So I have to travel every month, which adds a decent amount of time on the front end and the back end. And with flights and everything that's crazy too, sometimes that adds more challenges, takes up more time. There have been times where I didn't get back on time. So it's, you know, I'm getting back at like 2 a.m. on Monday morning and I have law school class on right away. So that's kind of something to consider too is, or is it just like a 1 hour drive to your reserve unit? So that's something to consider. The other thing too is, have you been working? Do you have experience? Like, are you fairly good with time management skills? Can you like very easily break down what you need to do, when you need to do it, and how you need to do it? Because that's going to become very important and very critical in deciding that. Right before I got out, I was, I had technically two jobs in my Marine Corps unit, and I was doing LSAT tutoring at the same time. So I was pretty comfortable with a pretty busy and hectic schedule, managing different responsibilities. So it wasn't necessarily that big of a difference for me, but I know that for a lot of people, coming to law school is a completely different requirement. They haven't had anything like it. And so for them, managing all of this all at once might be something different. But if you feel comfortable with your time management skills, then it is something that can help you out. Kind of a plus for it on the fact is it's a great conversation piece in interviews, and it instantly gives you some credibility. Quite a few of the interviews that I had over winter break were, oh, wow, how do you manage being in law school and the reserves? And so it gave me an opportunity to showcase my abilities and something very easily to talk about. So on that side, it is kind of a really big plus, but giant asterisk. If you don't get the grades, it doesn't matter what you say in your interviews, at least for big law on going after that first summer job. And then secondly, find out like what your actual schedule is going to look like. First semester wasn't nearly as bad. It was pretty much like actually just the weekend requirement. And so that wasn't the worst thing to build into my schedule. Second semester got way worse. There was one period where I had a drill period from Monday to Sunday. So it was 6 full days. And so I'm missing 5 days of classes. And keeping up with the law school reading and everything like that, and your writing assignment is hard enough, then you're gone for 5 days. And so I wasn't even like in a hotel, or we were actually going out to the field. So I couldn't watch Zoom lectures when I got back for the end of the evening. I kind of like tried to split up my reading of what I was going to do. I did a massive buildup on the front end, at least as much as I could. Problem is, some professors are great at giving you what you're going to read and some aren't. So all the ones that had the assignments pre-planned, I read those out. The other two ones were like, well, I'm not sure how far we'll get each day, so I can't give you a reading list. It's like, that's massively inconvenient.
A lot. Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's really challenging, because then you come back, you miss 5 days, you have to watch all of your lectures, or you might not have to, but that is a possibility, and you're absolutely scrambling. This was after our final writing memo brief had just dropped too. So everyone's talking about where they are in the brief, and I'm like, I haven't even looked at anything yet. And so that was like a real big challenge. And so your reserve schedule could also be kind of a hindrance. And then lastly, like, look into both your general commands feelings about school requirements and then also what your school thinks about it. For instance, I had technically drill scheduled for the reserves both in December's like final time period and May. And so with that, I wasn't quite frankly willing to like mess with that at all. And so I just reached out to my reserve unit and said, hey, I have finals this week. Can I get this rescheduled for another time? They considered finals to be a good enough reason to move it. And so I got that done, and that was pretty easy. And then second, like the second part of that is, what is your school's general feeling on this? If you have to miss something important, can you get either an extension or an approved absence for something? Thankfully, all of my professors were really easy to work with. I notified them of my schedule ahead of time, told them I'd be gone this day. They thanked me for it. Like, oh, thanks for giving me the heads up. Yes, I'll be sure that like all of my lectures are recorded on Zoom. And so that was nice. I didn't have to go through the school. Now, I know, though, that some professors, not the University of Texas, but I know at some law schools, some professors aren't exactly as nice. And so in that case, you have to go through the Dean of Student Affairs to get official excused absences. And that can be kind of a pain to deal with, but it should be considered as an excused absence. But thankfully, I didn't have to deal with that. The professors were great. The school was great. And because of how long I was gone, I was even given an extension to turn in my memo a couple days later, which really, really helped me out. But you have to be proactive with that. As soon as you get your dates, let your professors know, let the school know. Because if you just drop this on the final day of like, oh, hey, I was gone all these days, can I get an extension? That's probably not going to go over very well. Versus once I found out my schedule for school in January, I let everyone know and I got my extensions already pre-approved. So like those would be my big things to consider. Do you have experience in the field? Do you kind of know what you're getting into? What's your unit like? What's your schedule with them like? And then are you willing to sacrifice also as well, like school time? Like, quite frankly, if I'm being totally honest, my grades second semester weren't as good as first semester. And that's because I had more competing responsibilities. Now, I was willing to personally take the hit for that, and it still worked out well for me. But if grades are like your absolute number one priority in life, that nothing is more important than that, then this might not be the path for you. But I would say it certainly is doable. You just have to have your life pretty planned out, and then also like think about, are these priorities worth it?
Yeah. Am I right that second semester grades don't matter quite as much as first semester grades because of the fact that the first summer OCI happens before second semester grades are even out?
Yes, 100%. That's definitely true. So, and they, because of that, they pump out grades really, really fast. At the end of the first semester, I think they turned ours out in about 3.5 weeks. And so, I mean, you take your finals and then our break was like a month long. Some other law schools aren't that long. And so for some people, you're doing like your interviews in between your classes when you get back and everything like that. But it was, you know, semester ends, waited about 3.5 weeks, got our grades, did all of our interviews because they wanted to do the grade check first. But then once second semester rolls around, like you've already got at least big asterisks. My experience is all applying for big law. I didn't apply for public interest. I didn't apply to government. So I don't necessarily have the experience with that. But if you were going in big law, you had your law job lined up in January. And so I started in May and then my grades came out about 2 weeks ago. And my law firm just simply asked, hey, can you just send us your updated grades? So definitely not nearly as big of a deal. You just need to get your foot in the door from your first semester grades.
How big is your firm?
It's, I think, about total like 800 attorneys like worldwide. This office has about 40 to 50.
I see. Are you the only UT summer that's there, or are there other people from your school?
We have 4 summer associates in the Austin office. 3 of them were from the University of Texas. 1 of them was from the University of Houston.
Okay. Do you know, did that person like completely kill it at University of Houston?
Yes, 100%. That's like another thing to think about is at the University of Texas, quite frankly, I didn't have to be at the top of my class to get a big law summer job. Generally here, it was if you were in like the top 35%, you were pretty safe to get the big law job. Mm-hmm. Because we have a much better ranking. We mm-hmm. have the better reputation. But at the University of Houston, it is a smaller school. So you do need the better grades. You need to be at the top of your class.
Yeah. I mean, you still, it's not like you're like casually mentioning that you're in the top 35% at Texas. And that's a tougher field to compete against than the field is going to be at Houston. So that's another thing that people have to bear in mind. It's like, well, yeah, they do hire. I mean, they still, the big law firms are still only hiring the top third of the class, even at Texas, or it's safe in the top third mm-hmm. of the class. Maybe they hire down a little bit further, but then, yeah, so that's, it's still no guarantee, right?
100%.
And my advice there would be like, that's a bet that if I was going to have to pay, I probably wouldn't do it. I'd probably just say, nah, I'll take the scholarship to Houston and then try to just finish top of my class. Because if I'm paying, you know, $60,000 a year or whatever it is at UT, and then I still have to finish in the top third of my class, I don't know. Yeah. That's just a risky business there.
Yeah.
Awesome, David. Any other tips for Nico? I mean, this was, really excellent advice.
I would just say, like, just one more point on grades. If you don't get those perfect grades first semester, it's not the end of the world for you. There is chances to recover. Like that's just the top third. That's for 1L summer jobs. Like 2L summer jobs, it drops down a decent amount of what your grades need to be. And generally, if you didn't do very well first semester, you will do a lot better second semester because you know what law school wants, you know how they test. And so that can be more comfortable to you. And then, you know, just go find a summer job that you actually really like and you get to do work. Because if you actually want to be a like good lawyer, a hard hitting attorney, which would you rather do, work at like a legal clinic or something like that, where you actually get to deal with day in, day out clients, or someone who goes to adult summer camp parties, doesn't really actually learn anything about the law.
Right.
And then gets the real awakening once they graduate. Which one do you think is actually better long term? So while everyone's freaking out about the short term, the immediate thing, take a step back, think about what you really want in life. What do you want your next, you know, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years to look like? And then like that really can help like relieve a lot of the stress of feeling like you're in the total rat race if you can have a little bit more of an objective opinion on everything that's going on.
Amazing. Thank you so much, David, for coming on. Really nice to catch back up with you. Proud of you and all of your success. It's awesome to see Demon students thriving. So yeah, thank you for being willing to share your time and help us out.
Yeah, of course, Nathan. Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
David Kopp is a rising 2L at the University of Texas Law School. Email daily at LSATdemon.com if you'd like to ask us a question or share some LSAT or law school admissions news. Thanks for listening.